Return to Judges, to the 16th chapter of Judges with me this evening. Judges chapter 16. I want to thank you for your hospitality to my family and I today. Enjoyed being here. Enjoyed the meal with the Coopers this afternoon. And enjoyed the fellowship with you throughout the day. It's always good to be up here in Malvern with the congregation here. We've read some of the life of the Judge Samson, and I want to read now from chapter 16, which is the climactic end of his life. And I wanted to break up the scripture reading a little bit with the hymn, since it was longer than normal. So let's read some verses from chapter 16 now to get this fixed in our mind before we go to prayer and to the message of the evening. So in chapter 16, let's begin reading in verse number 4. We'll read three verses here and then skip to the end of the chapter. And it came to pass afterward that he, being Samson, loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Let's skip to verse number 15. This is after he lies to her a few times. Verse 15, the word of God says, and she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, O Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for an offer to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice. And they said, our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged to the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zoar and Eshtaol, in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Let's pray. Lord, our gracious God, we come to you again this evening, praising thee and blessing thee for the forgiveness of sins. We bless thy name, that the blood of Jesus Christ thy Son cleanseth us from all sin. And we marvel at the love that drew salvation's plan, the grace that brought it down to man, and the mighty gulf that thou didst span at Calvary. O Lord, as we examine this Old Testament passage this evening, we pray that you would speak a word to us in season, that we would learn a valuable lesson from this man, Samson, and that you would do good to thy people and edify thy church through the preaching of thy word. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I am sure you are aware that the judge Samson is one of the most puzzling characters in the entire Bible. His life is such a contradiction. It's such a paradox. He, of course, is known for his amazing strength, and yet he's so weak when it comes to morals and when it comes to the women that he falls in love with. No judge did such mighty works as Samson and yet accomplished so little for the cause of God in Israel. While other judges were called into service as middle-aged men, you think of Gideon or Jephthah or Ehud, Samson has an angelic visitor before he's even born that announces his birth, a theophany. The angel of the Lord appears to his mother and to his father later on in that chapter, announcing his birth. It seems that he's got great promise, but no judge was so limited in the actual performance of what he was called to do than Samson. He's a man listed in Hebrews 11 among the great Old Testament saints who did exploits for God by faith. And yet in many respects, he was a fool who squandered his great privilege and blessings and calling. All these perplexing tensions in the life of Samson. And yet I think that there's one great lesson that we need to learn among all the others from Samson we could draw. There's one great lesson that we all need to heed and we all need to learn. And it's the lesson that former victories do not ensure future victories. This is a warning we need to hear. Samson was a man of God who knew great empowerment by the Holy Spirit. He was strong, but then he fell. And he lost his strength, and the Lord withdrew his mighty, empowering influence from him. Samson knew what it was to walk in the Spirit, and he knew what it was to walk outside the influence of the Spirit. He knew what it was to have God's power, and he knew what it was to have that power withdrawn from him. And this is why we need to take notice of the life of Samson. All of us here stand in great need, in desperate need, for the power of God in our lives. We need spiritual strength desperately in this life. We need his blessing. We need his presence. And we need his strength. We need the power of God personally. There's a battle that we must wage. We're in it whether we like it or not. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a lion who is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, prowling about, and we need spiritual strength personally in our lives. We have to have the power of God in our families. We are completely inadequate for the task of parenting children. We need the enabling power and presence and strength of God. Fathers, we need enablement to guide our little flock through this awful world. We need wisdom. We need strength from on high. Mothers, you must have strength to raise your little ones for Christ. We are in desperate need for the power of God in our families. We must have the power of God in this church. If we would ever want to see the cause of God and of truth to advance in this day, to advance in this community, to advance in this region, it's going to be by a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God and empowering influence and Pentecostal power to revive his church, to awaken sinners of their need. We are desperate for the power of God, for strength to live as Christians and to do things for God. And so each of us stands here this evening in desperate need for the power of God as we live in this wicked world. And Samson teaches us that former victories do not ensure future victories. We cannot afford to do what Samson did and to lapse into a spiritually weakened state and to not have the enabling power of the Spirit of God in our lives, in our families, and in our ministry. The stakes are too high. We can't afford to do what he did. And so we need to hear God's message in the life of Samson. For in Samson, we see the heights to which a man of God can soar and the depths to which a man of God can sink. So this evening, from the life of Samson, I'm going to preach to you about strength lost and recovered. Strength lost and recovered. And I have three simple thoughts as we trace the heights and depths of Samson's experience of strength. The source of his strength, the loss of his strength, and the recovery of his strength. The source of his strength, the loss of his strength, and the recovery of his strength. First of all, let's think of the source of Samson's strength. Where did his great strength come from? I mean, this is the most obvious thing about his life, right? He was strong. If we polled even the smallest children that are with us tonight, what do you know about Samson? They're going to know Samson was strong, right? Where did that strength come from? I mean, we read about him doing amazing physical feats. I mean, he strangles a mountain lion with his bare hands, rends it in two like a small animal. He catches 300 foxes, ties their tails together, right? Puts a torch in the knot and lets them go through the countryside, burning off the fields of the Philistines. He carries off the iron gates of Gaza on his back. He kills 1,000 armed Philistines with the donkey's jawbone. These are amazing feats of physical strength. He had the strength of an army in one man. And God used him, as we saw a couple times, to begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So where did this great strength come from? What was its source? Well, let's be clear about one thing. It didn't come from himself, right? It did not come from himself. I imagine that Samson looked like an ordinary person. Those cartoon coloring pages that you might have had in childhood of Samson with a no shirt, able to go on Samson. He's so bulging with all of his muscles. Probably not the case. I don't think he looked anything different than a normal man. And the reason why I think that is the Philistines are so curious about the source of his strength, right? I mean, they're trying to find it out. It's a mystery to them how this man can do these things. If Samson looked like Hercules, then it wouldn't be a mystery, or it wouldn't be so much of a mystery. But he was normal looking. The source of his strength was not his workout regimen. It wasn't just good genes. Okay, it didn't come from himself. Let's be clear on that. It didn't come from himself. So where did it come from? And as you read the story of Samson, and we came across these verses many times in the reading, that's why I chose the reading that I did, you see over and over again a phrase that occurs right before he does one of his exploits, right? And it's the phrase, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him." 5 times we have that phrase about Samson, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon him." The source of Samson's strength was the presence of God in his life. We saw it in the last verses of chapter 13, where we saw the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. The Lord blessed young Samson. His hand was on him for good. And Samson is filled with the Spirit of God throughout his ministry. On 5 different occasions in these 3 chapters, we have references to the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him. The source of Samson's great strength was the mighty Spirit of God in all his fullness, enabling Samson. Now we need to pause here and make sure that we're clear about something, and we have something organized in our minds before we proceed any further regarding Samson and regarding the Spirit's ministry in his life. There are 4 ways in which the Holy Spirit is influential in the life of a believer. Okay? 4 ways. And we need to make sure that we're straight on these, or else we're going to be very confused by statements like the Lord departing from Samson. And what does that mean? Does it mean he lost his salvation? I thought the Lord said, "Never leave thee or forsake thee." So we need to get straight on these categories, right? So first, there's 4 influences of the Spirit on the believer's life. First is in regeneration, right? And making them alive and creating in them a willingness to follow Christ and to repent and believe, okay? And that's a one-time, non-repeatable act of the Holy Spirit. And that's not what we're talking about when we talk about the Spirit coming on Samson, leaving Samson, coming on Samson, leaving Samson. We're not talking about regeneration. The second is indwelling, right? That is the continual abiding presence of the Spirit in the life of a believer. And it is so much the assurance of every believer that Paul can say that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. So every believer, Old Testament or New Testament, every believer has the Spirit of God indwelling him. And so we know that, and that is a repeatable thing, it's an ongoing thing, and so we know that's not the case. We're not talking about Samson losing the indwelling of the Spirit here. So he's not losing regeneration somehow. He's not losing the abiding, continual presence of God in his life, because God has said, "I'll never leave thee or forsake thee." But there are 2 other categories, right? One is our duty according to Ephesians chapter 5, right? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be under the influence of the Spirit. And so we're all responsible, right, for letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom, and thereby being filled with the Spirit of God, being under his influence, not grieving him, not quenching him, being under his influence, and living godly, spiritual-minded lives. And then a 4th category is when God comes in his Spirit and enables us to do great things for God. like when Peter is full of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people are saved. Or when Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit on the first missionary journey, when Bar-Jesus, the sorcerer, is withstanding the gospel and he blinds him and removes that obstacle from the gospel being preached. Okay, these times of empowerment, that's what we're talking about when we talk about Samson and the Spirit of God coming on him, departing him from him, coming on him, departing from him. We're talking about that empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He's not losing his salvation and getting it back. He's not losing the indwelling, abiding presence of the Spirit in his life. He's losing God's power in his life. He's losing the empowerment for service. That is that fourth category of the Spirit's influence in our lives. And this is a key distinction to keep in mind. Without that distinction, we can get very confused in chapter 16 when we see the Lord departed from him and he didn't know it, right? So we know that it is a certain truth that God does not forsake his people no matter what they do, but it is equally certain that God may withdraw his empowering influence from disobedient believers. And we must have this empowering influence of the Spirit. You know, so often, we act as if we are sufficient of ourselves to do what God has called us to do. We show ourselves to be completely dependent on ourselves. We give every indication that we do not really care about the Spirit of God empowering us. We go about things in our own strength, prayerless, Bible-less, without godly counsel, but go headlong into decisions without waiting on him. So many times we act as if we are sufficient of ourselves. We live as if we do not need spiritual strength. We're so prone to rely on our own strength. And so let us remember that if we are to do great things for God, ourselves and our families, if our churches are to do great things for God, it will not be by man. It will not be by the arm of flesh. It will only be by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We live in desperate need for this. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. There's no strength in man of himself. Samson had no strength of himself. His strength came from on high. Samson, without his God, was but a poor fool. But to have God is to have strength sufficient. So that is the source of Samson's strength, the empowering presence of the Spirit of God on his life. The Lord's blessing was at one time on Samson, and time again, God moved him to deliver Israel from the grip of the Philistines. He knew what it was to be empowered on high. Then we get to chapter 16. And tragically there, we read that Samson forfeited his strength. So having spoken of the source of his strength, let us now talk about the loss of strength. You know, due to Samson's great accomplishments, he was the Philistines' most wanted man. So he ought to have been on high alert. He ought to have been watching and praying, lest he enter into temptation. Things were very dangerous for Samson. He was number one on the most wanted list. But instead, he makes friends with the enemies. And the result was that we learn from chapter 16 and verse 19 that the Lord, of 16:19, that his strength went from him. Samson lost his strength. His strength went from him. As I already said, we can't afford to have this happen to us. We can't afford it. Stakes are too high. May it never be said of us, our strength went from us in the way that it went from Samson. So let's trace his spiritual declension, which caused this strength to be removed from him so that he was just ordinary. First, he failed to guard his heart. It is no secret as you read through the life of Samson that he was a man particularly given to the sin of lust. It was a particular weakness in his character, and it was precisely there that the enemy attacked him. The enemy found Samson vulnerable and open to attack. He was overcome by the lusts of the flesh. Early in his career as a judge, we saw him demanding that his father give him a Philistine wife. Even at the protest of his parents, he said, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." The only thing he had in mind was her outward appearance. Then in chapter 16, we read in verse number 1 that he visited a harlot in Gaza. Now later in this same chapter, in verse number 4 and following, he's fallen in love with Delilah, a woman placed deliberately in Samson's path to be a temptation to him because they knew where his weakness lay. They knew that she could prevail over Samson, discover the source of his strength. Samson left his heart unguarded. He was not watching and praying. So, believer, are you keeping your heart with all diligence? Are you carefully guarding your heart? You know your particular sins. You know what you struggle with. You know your propensities. Are you doing whatever it takes to avoid falling into those traps? Are you taking sin seriously? As seriously as Jesus tells us to when he says, if your right eye offend you, gouge it out. It's better to go to heaven with one eye than hell with two eyes. Let's be serious about guarding our hearts and taking drastic measures to put up fences and barriers in our lives to, by God's grace, avoid sin, avoid temptation, avoid a fall. Don't trust yourself. Samson failed to guard his heart. And when our watchfulness is gone and we grow spiritually negligent, our strength will soon be gone as well. Second, Samson trifled with sin. In verse 6 of chapter 16, Delilah openly asks Samson how someone might go about binding him so that he could be afflicted. I mean, she's not even subtle. She says in verse 6, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." There's not even any deception here, right? She's not even like going around the back door with this, right? She's right out there asking, how can you be tied up and tortured, right? And he just takes this as this laughing matter, nothing serious about this. He's toying and he's trifling with the enemy. He just starts to make stuff up just to satisfy her, and then he lays his head down in her lap evening after evening. Delilah keeps pressing him day by day, so much that he's vexed even unto death. But he remains with this woman day after day. He tells her to do something, she does it. And then he tells her again, over and over. He doesn't leave this woman. He doesn't stop laying his head down in her lap. But over and over again, he's just toying with sin, making friends with the enemy. Compromising. Sin is never a matter to be trifled with. Never a matter to be toyed with. We think in our vain self-sufficiency that we are in control over our sin. but you never are in control over your sin. Your sin is always in control over you. You don't reign over sin. Sin reigns over you when you're toying with it, when you're treating it as not really that big of a deal. When we toy with sin, as Samson toyed with sin, our strength is sure to be cut off from on high. So he failed to guard his heart. He trifled with sin. Third, he forgot his purpose in life. What was the whole point of Samson's ministry? Why was it that he was announced as a great deliverer? Why was it that he was given this empowerment from on high? It was to deliver Israel out of the hands of Philistine oppression. And what is he doing here? He's in open league with a Philistine sympathizer. He's forgotten his purpose in life. He doesn't count obedience to God. He doesn't count his consecration unto God as a Nazarite as a serious thing. Samson knows what will happen if his hair is shaved, and he tells Delilah anyway. And it's not as if he tells Delilah not thinking she's going to go through with it. Everything he's told her before, she's gone ahead and done. And so it's not as if it's a surprise to him that she actually does cut his hair. Samson proves in this that he would rather please Delilah and displease the Lord than please the Lord and displease Delilah. And Delilah has become his idol. He loves Delilah more than God. He cares about the favor of Delilah more than he cares about the favor of God. Delilah is his idol. It is his graven image. We must never forget our purpose in life as believers. When we do, we're sure to lose our strength. We have such a difficult time mixing up the end from the means and the means from the end. The end of our life is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. The end of our life as believers is that we are called to live holy lives, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We are called to be lights in this world and to be the salt of the earth and to prayerfully and by God's grace see souls won for the kingdom. But when we lose sight of that purpose and get sidetracked by the things of this world, we're sure to lose our strength because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So let thine eye be single, our Lord Jesus says, and seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he failed to guard his heart. He trifled with sin. He forgot his purpose in life. He boasted in his self-sufficiency, fourthly. He was proud. Samson had grown proud and arrogant and self-sufficient. His words in verse 20 are very telling. Look at chapter 16 and verse number 20. Delilah said, wakes up Samson. The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and said, this is incredible. He says, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. You hear his words. He's living on the memory of past blessings. Every time in the past I needed it, I got it. So I'll just call on it again and I'll get it back. He's presuming on the future because of past blessings. He says, haven't I gone out before? It doesn't matter, this room is full of Philistines. I will prevail as I've always prevailed. The Philistines haven't gotten me yet, and they're sure not going to start now. I'll go out as at other times before. And what is this? He will shake himself? As if everything he's done before in his life was the result of him shaking himself, right? When the lion came, he shook himself and he strangled the lion. And when he's surrounded by 1,000 Philistines, he shook himself and he destroyed the Philistines with a donkey's jawbone. Really? Shaking himself. And he's completely boasting in his self-sufficiency. He's forgotten the source of his strength. He's forgotten his dependence on God. He's grown arrogant. He's grown proud. He, in effect, takes credit for all of the exploits he's done for God. He's confident in his own ability. He's resting in his own strength. What pride he had fallen into. And if we follow this path, we will sure to lose our strength as well. Because let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Mark this. God will never give you strength to glorify yourself. So beware of the evil of pride. It will rob you of your spiritual strength. It'll bring upon you great losses, as it did in Samson's life. And the path of this declension, this failure to guard his heart, this trifling with sin, this forgetfulness of his purpose in life, this boasting in his self-sufficiency, all of this leads us to consider the most tragic thing of all, that the Lord departed from Samson. The end of verse 20 says this: he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. And this is the truly awful thing in the whole episode. The blessed, enabling presence of the Lord, the source of all of his strength, this was now gone from Samson. He's abandoned in weakness. He's left vulnerable to his enemies. Samson sinned against the Lord, and the Lord withdrew his enabling presence from him. And this is a solemn thing, to live in such a way that we lose out on the power of God in our lives, in the lives of our families, in the lives of this church. And Samson was blind well before the sand of Philistines gouged his eyes out, because verse 20 says he didn't even know that the Lord had departed from him. This is a tragic thing. This is a frightening thing. It is possible. It is possible to have God's enabling presence withdrawn from us and we not even know it. And we not even be aware of it. Because sin blinds us. It makes us spiritually imperceptive so that we don't even know that the Lord has departed. And we need to search our hearts in this. It is possible to be deprived of spiritual strength, to be deprived of the Spirit's enabling power, and to not even be aware of it. Do you know the enabling presence of God in your life? Have you met with him today? Have you spoken to him today? Have you sought him for spiritual strength? Have you sought him for power? Have you sought him for enablement to do what you're called to do as a believer? Or are you living in self-sufficiency? Has the Spirit of the Lord departed in his enabling strength, and you don't even know it? What a tragedy to lose the presence and the power of God in the way that Samson lost it. We can't afford this as believers. But the story does not end there. The Lord's withdrawal brought devastating consequences. We've traced the reasons for this loss. Now we've got to look at what happened when the Lord withdrew his enabling presence. There are consequences to this. This is a serious matter. It's why we can't afford it. It's why we must avoid it at all costs. Why we must stay close to the Lord and dependent on him. His consequences were a catalog of suffering. According to verse 21, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he had to grind in the prison house. The consequences of his loss of strength were tragic. He lost his freedom. He lost his sight. He's been a spectacle and a shame. He's tied to a mill as if he's a beast of burden. And the Philistines get a chance to honor their false god at his expense. The consequences of the loss of his strength are tragic. Though this one who once put the entire army of the Philistines in fright, who made them panic and have to find out the source of his strength, this same one is now a spectacle at a feast for the false god Dagon. What a tragedy. And if you lose out on the enabling power of God in your life, it will be just as tragic. It'll be tragic for yourself. It'll be tragic for your family. It'll be tragic for this church. Samson's sin led to great losses. And there's something very sobering about these losses. Many of them were irrecoverable. He didn't lose them and get them back. He never got them back again. For instance, he lost his sight, and he never regained his sight. He spends the rest of his days a blind man. He lost his freedom, and he never regained his freedom. He died a prisoner in the house of the Philistines. He lost his opportunity to serve God. There must have been so many days as he blindly pushed on that millstone in the house of the Philistines that he regretted the very moment he laid eyes on Delilah. He must have lived in such regret. He was given this purpose. He was given this calling. He knew the great strength of God in his life. And now he's tied to a millstone, unable to do anything for God, missing out on opportunity to serve God. And he lost his testimony. And he's made a spectacle. He doesn't look like a champion for God. He doesn't look like the man raised up to deliver Israel. His name is used to glorify a false god. He lost these things, and they were irrecoverable. And all the adults in the room can sympathize with this. Mistakes that we have made, sins that we have indulged in, foolishly, though we knew better, and we lost out something that we never got back. How many of you spent precious years of your youth that you wish you had back now pursuing sin? I say this for the benefit of the young people here. To live in self-sufficiency, to live as if you don't really need God, you can do this by yourself. As long as I got saved and I can point back to that and I'm good now, now I can live how I want. And to miss out on the enabling presence of God and instead to foolishly toy with sin will bring upon you great regret and irrecoverable losses. Don't go down this road that Samson went down. It's a tragedy that his life ends in this way. And yet, in his final moments, he received a recovery of strength. And this is great hope for us, because we have so often slid into a backslidden position, slid into a spiritual declension. Is there a way back? Is there a way back to know the enabling presence of God? And yes, there is. Samson shows it to us. At the end of chapter 16, he shows us the way back. So as we've talked about the source of his strength and the loss of his strength, let us look at the recovery of his strength. Samson was not completely and permanently forsaken. Here is our hope. Verse 28. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson's prayer reveals that he has learned humility in his trying circumstances. What a difference this prayer is from the last time we had him talking, which was, I will go out as the other times before and shake myself. What a difference between these two, many years difference. And what a difference it is between verse 20 and verse number 28. He's learned humility. He now recognizes his own weakness. He now recognizes that strength must come from above. He's learned a tough lesson. Let's be wise and learn it from him rather than learning it in our own experience. Samson's prayer also reveals a renewed consecration unto the Lord. He's no longer thinking of himself as he once had done. He recognizes his purpose as a judge called by God to be a champion to deliver Israel. He recognizes that he's consecrated unto the Lord for a specific task. He desires to do something more for God. And God remembered him. God renewed his strength. And Samson used his strength for the deliverance of the nation. There was something more he could do for God. And if you are here this evening and you feel that you've lost out on the empowerment of God because of a spiritual declension, because of pride, because of trifling and indulging with sin, because of failing to guard your heart and to watch and pray, listen, there's something more that you can do for God as well. There's a way back. Repentance. Forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We may lose out on the enabling presence of God for a time, but in reality, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll bring us back. He'll have us return. The prodigal was able to return to his father. And we are able to return to God. Our latter days may be greater than our former days if we will but humble ourselves and renew our consecration unto God and wait on him for mercy and for forgiveness for our foolish ways and our spiritual declension. Oh, in Samson we see the heights to which a man of God can soar. And yet the depths to which he can sink, but then the way back from those depths. Here's a man who knew unparalleled strength to resist and conquer the enemy. The strength was rooted in his being full of the Holy Spirit. But as Samson failed to guard his heart, as he trifled with sin, as he boasted in his self-sufficiency and forgot his purpose with God, he lost out on the spiritual strength which was absolutely essential to his life as a believer. He went from being strong to being vulnerable before the enemy. And we can't afford this. We need the blessing of God. We need the power of God. And so may God's Spirit etch these truths on our hearts. May we watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. May we keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of them are the issues of life. And may we know the power of God in our lives, in our families, in our influence among our coworkers at work, in this church, in this region. May we be consecrated vessels unto the Lord, and may he keep us by his grace. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, our gracious God, we thank thee for the enabling power of thy Spirit. And we look to thee, O Lord, for all the strength that we need. We confess that we are powerless, that of all the big things that we want to accomplish, that we are wholly inadequate to accomplish any of them. And so, O Lord, will you descend and empower us to be useful vessels, to see thy kingdom advance, to see thy people go on because of our godly influence in their lives. Keep our young people, O Lord, close to thee. Keep them from toying with sin. Keep us all from pride and from self-sufficiency. And, O Lord, we pray that you would do great things through this ministry of consecrated believers unto thee. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.